After Shira last time, Bernie came over to me and said he's convinced that the word legalea here means haircut, as opposed to shaving, both because of his reading of the Gemara. This is the sheet. Both because of his reading of the Gemara and because historically, societally, what they did in terms of shaving. So one of the good proofs that he is right, though there are still ways to read it otherwise, but one of the good proofs that you're right is our sugya today. Because if we're going to talk about a katan shaving, a newborn baby shaving, seems very strange. Nobody's giving birth to a werewolf. We're talking about a human baby. So let us begin now towards the bottom of the page. We are six lines from the bottom of the page. Yudalad Amad Aleph. Amar Shmuel. Katan hanolad b'moed mutar legaleach b'moed. She'en lecha beit ha'asurin gadol mizeh. Shmuel said, a young child, meaning a newborn baby, who was born during Chol HaMoed, he is allowed to get his hair cut during Chol HaMoed, because we said in our Mishnah, one of our exceptions for people who are allowed to shave in Chol HaMoed, even though you're normally not allowed to, is somebody who is Yotzei mi Beit HaAsurin, somebody who got out of prison. So this newborn baby is considered someone who got out of prison. She'ein lecha beit ha'asurin gazadol mizeh. There's no more confining prison than being inside another person. Okay? Rashi here comments. Katan hanolad b'moed. We are about six lines in the bottom. Velo sa'arot gedolim. He has long hair. He was born with a full head of hair. And it may be bothering him. Mutar legaleach b'moed se'ar rosho hamitza'aro. We are allowed to shave the hair that is disturbing this baby's peace. Okay, and again, this Gemara clearly fits here because we are listing exceptions to the rule. The Mishnah has some, the Gemara is going to add some or discuss them, so this fits in right with the other ones. The Ritva in Source 1 tells us, Perishashi imasar mitzaro. If the hair is bothering him, hurting him, disturbing him, v'divrei picha cham chayin, isn't Rashi so wonderful? De'i letzorech tikun kol tikun gufo o letzorech refua. If there's indeed a problem or a medical issue, pshita, of course he can shave on Chol HaMoed. Afilu b'nolad kodem ha'moed. Even somebody who is born before Chol HaMoed, it's not only an exception. If it's refua, of course you can. We're not only talking about sakanas nefashos. Okay, then there would be no discussion. We're saying even if there's just some sort of medical need, of course you would be allowed to, even for an animal. The ha'afilu mi behema ein monin refua. We are allowed to do anything for medical care on Chol HaMoed, even for an animal. The Mishnah Brura, commenting on the Shulchan Aruch, where he says, afilu nolad before yantif, rotzelamar, the af, this is source 2, in case that wasn't clear, I'm sorry, rotzelamar, af de haya yachol legalcho mikodem, shari, even if, indeed, there was time on Friday, on Erev Yontif, not Friday, sorry, Erev Yontif, even if he did have time, still, mitamanal, for this reason, that it's like yotzei mibeit ha'asurin, we are allowed to give this child a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Vayein b'prima godem. And here's where it gets interesting. Because so far we've been talking about a newborn baby. The baby on Chol HaMoed is all of 5, 6, 7, 8 days old. Says the prima godem, afilu hu ben kama shanim. This applies even to a few year old child. 5 years old. Kol shelo higia liyud gimel shanim. As long as he's not 13, mutar legalcho b'moed. You can give him a haircut on Chol HaMoed. V'chein muchach b'magen Avram. And the Magen Avram says the same thing. Ach, ha-magen Avram mistapek, dehechi da-katan nirek ke-gadol, efshar de-ein la-hakel b'far hesya. You cannot give him the haircut in public if he looks old enough to be bar mitzvah. But certainly, the Mishnah Berurah is paskening that a young child could indeed get a haircut on Chol HaMoed.
Wouldn't that go against the idea
So the child was, what age would you consider he'd be Filipino? Yeah.
Six,
four, five. Oh, you would already consider a child at 4 years old to be Filipino. Okay.
So this is my notes. That's not the Makoro sheet.
You raised the Makoro, yes.
You, as another factor, you can decide for a chain of reasons to not do it to him. That doesn't change the fact that it's technically permissible. Okay? What you're saying, notwithstanding, you are allowed to.
The mama makes it chiluk now between mitzaroi and lufuo.
Who makes that chiluk?
Over here. Rashi says the word mitzaroi kodesh anoila.
Yeah.
He uses the word mitzaroi. Mitzaroi means if he has pain. So I would learn that even if he has pain, you're not allowed to cut him.
No, he said you are allowed to cut it because it has pain.
No, but lechat chilo.
Meikara means even if he was born before young.
Yes, that's
okay, we'll see how we conclude on that. But Rashi's just explaining the concept. He's saying mitzaro, and the Ritva throws in even refua, and then we see the Mishnah Berurah saying this isn't limited to a katan. Newborn baby. This is limited. This is, includes even an older katan.
I'm sorry. Maybe he's pointing the same thing. So when number two quotes afilu nola, what's that referring to in the Gemara?
No, Mishnah Berurah is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch is paskening even one before born before Yom. Okay. So we're not at that stage of the Gemara yet. Yeah. But I was showing you that when the Mishnah Berurah comments on this idea. He's saying katan is broader than a newborn baby.
Okay. Let us read further in the Gemara.
But from number one, we are seeing the Ritva is comparing a baby's hair irritating him to refu.
Yeah, for everyone.
Refu.
For you too. If you had a refu knee, you would also allow to.
This is called a refu knee that the baby's hair irritates.
Yes. Yeah. He is comparing those things, correct? Just like we would be allowed to, or even kolshekain, even more so for refuah. But even this, a baby, it's uncomfortable. The baby's uncomfortable, you're allowed to cut his hair. That is what the Ritva is saying.
And we're extending that even to a godol?
For refuah.
For refuah.
Yeah, that would seem to be what he's saying. Because refuah, we wouldn't even stop an animal, you know.
Okay.
But if hair disturbing is called refuah,
no,
what if
I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Hair disturbing a baby is reason to shave him. Your refuah is reason to shave you.
Yeah. So what if hair is disturbing me?
I don't know. You have to decide how badly it's disturbing you. Share less cough on him.
Long hair. Is that considered a, his eyes.
And indeed, you should have gotten your haircut cut before Yontif. Meaning, we're dealing with a case where it's now Chalamoed, and now your hair is disturbing you. So what happened that your hair is disturbing you now all of a sudden in Chol HaMoed that wasn't disturbing you 3 days earlier?
Well, if I had a toothache, Erev Yom Tov, and I said to myself, you know, it's a busy day, it'll probably go away by tomorrow. But it didn't. Now I got a toothache in Chol HaMoed. And I could have gone to that dentist before. But now it's before.
So you can go for a toothache, yes.
I can go for
it. That has nothing to do with getting your hair cut. Okay, our topic is getting the hair cut. Your medical needs are medical needs, even on Chol HaMoed. Okay. Let us continue. So Shmuel's statement says, She'en lecha beit asurim gadol mizeh. Now the Gemara infers from Shmuel's words. Because he said, Katan hanolad b'moed. On the chag. Meaning on the regel. Even Chol HaMoed. But I'm saying during the days of Sukkot. During the days of Pesach. B'moed in Meikara lo. Before, if you were born before Yontif, you can't get a haircut because you should have done so beforehand. Rashi, Meikara lo, the bottom Rashi on the page. Dim nolad kodem aregel, eino migaleach baregel, hawil v'haya yachol galeach kodem aregel. If he was born before Yontif, he can't shave on Chol HaMoed since he could have done so before Yontif. That is the diuk, the inference, the Gemara is making from Shmuel's words.
With that inference in mind, now Rabbi Pinchas has a question. Okay, his question is on the inference we made from Shmuel's words. Motiv Rabbi Pinchas. Rabbi Pinchas has a question. First, he quotes a braita, a Tosefta. Kol elu she'amru mutter ligaleach b'moed, mutter ligaleach b'mei evlo. Everyone who is allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, if the same thing happened to you right before you went into Avelus, that would also be a reason to allow you to shave during your Avelus. For example, if you got out of prison and 2 days after your parents passed away, so even though you're not allowed to shave in general during Shiva, or whatever the parameters are, and that's the focus of this parak, so you'll get there. But for the second, whatever, you're not allowed to shave then, let's just say. But you are allowed to shave then because you weren't able to shave for the past few weeks, months, and poor guy, your onus, circumstances beyond your control. So even though it's 2-3 days after your parent passed away, you are indeed allowed to shave. So that's what the Tosefta says. Says Rabbi Pinchas, Ha asur legaleach b'moed, asur legaleach b'mei avlo. The inference he makes from what he quoted is that if somebody who is allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed is allowed to shave if the same thing happens to him during Avelus, if he is not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, he is not allowed to shave if the same thing happened to him during his Avelus. We haven't even gotten to his question yet. His question is still coming up. But even at this point, we have to analyze what his logic is. Let's look at source 3. Let's start with the Ritva. Source 3, the Ritva says, Ha asurin legaleach b'moi asurin b'mei avlan, pirish the kasal kadaitav, in his mind, when he reads those words, Dilegamre chashibi ki hagode, moi v'avol binyanzeh. The two go hand in hand. It's what we call in logic, biconditional. As in, if you're allowed to do it then, you're allowed to do it then, and if you're not allowed to do it then, you're not allowed to do it then. But here's where the problem lies, and this is how the Gemara is going to eventually answer it. But, a mathematician says to his kids, if you don't eat your vegetables, you're not going to get dessert. So they ate their vegetables, and they still didn't get dessert. Because he didn't say, if you eat your vegetables, then you will get dessert. Okay? The poor mathematician's children still didn't get their dessert. Okay, I looked it up on Wikipedia yesterday, and this is a rule called denying the antecedent. As in, we say, if A, then B. And I tell you as a given, A leads to B. So, not A. Not A, therefore not B, would be denying the antecedent. And Wikipedia, very helpfully, provided me 2 examples. If you are a ski instructor, then you have a job. If you're not a ski instructor, therefore you have no job, would be ludicrous. A lot of people have jobs who are not ski instructors. If I am Japanese, then I am Asian. I am not Japanese, therefore I'm not Asian. Again, there are many countries and nationalities in Asia can make you Asian without being Japanese. Okay? So he sees these words. It says, if you can shave on Chol HaMoed, you can, if you are one of these people who are the exceptions to allow you to shave on Chol HaMoed, then you are one of these people to allow you to shave if you become an Avel. Therefore, if you are not one of the people who is allowed to shave, meaning you are the part of the rest of the world who is not allowed to shave in Chol HaMoed, you are also part of the rest of the world who is not allowed to shave in Avelus. But is that inference correct? Is that logical? In other words, he understood a conditional as biconditional. And that, therein, is going to lie his error. But still, he's not done with his question. So let's see where he goes with it. Okay? So he cites Rabbi Pinchas, cites the Tosefta, and makes that diuk. V'i amart katan if be plukta. Now you, Shmuel, told me, a katan who was born during the Moed can shave on Chol HaMoed, and we inferred from your words that means if you were born before the Moed, you are not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, then Nimseit Avelu Noheget Bekatan. We have a problem with this, because this means that a Katan has a din of Avelus. And is that a problem? Well, let's quote a braita and see. Va'atanya, mikarin l'katan mipnei arma nefesh. When a katan loses an immediate family member, is he chayav in kriya? Does he have to rend his garment? And we say, well, we rend his garment for him because of agmat nefesh. In order, Rashi tells us, sheyavo, we're the last wide line on top of the page, sheyivku haroin v'yirbu b'chvod amet v'lo mipnei shehu avel. We do it in order for everybody else to cry. And if everybody else cries, and this person was a good person, and we want to honor him, it's better for his kavod that everybody cries. So in order to cause everybody else to cry, we're going to rip the katan shirt. The inference, Rashi tells us, is not because of a din of avelus. Okay? So when he quotes the Braita says, Vatanya l'katan l'katan v'nei nefesh, you need to fill in those words, and not avelus. So we see a katan doesn't have avelus. So now Rabbi Pinchas' question is this. If you told me that somebody who can shave, let's read again. Shmuel said if he was born on Yontif, he could shave on Chol HaMoed. And we inferred not if he was born before Yontif. And I know, based on my understanding of this Tosefta, biconditionally, somebody who can't shave on Chol HaMoed also can't shave in Avelus, which would mean if a Katan can't shave on Chol HaMoed if he was born before Yontif, he also can't shave during Avelus. Would mean that a katan has avelus. And I know from this bright to right here that a katan does not have avelus.
Why do you have to interpret the bright so that a katan doesn't have avelus? Maybe that's what Agmat Nefesh means. Maybe it means avelus. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says it chose for others. Maybe that's not what it means. Maybe it means the katan has avelus.
Meaning if you look at that bright in its context, I mean there are other places where we discuss Kriya, it's more explicit, and we're going to get into why we tear for a katan and a velus, but indeed, a katan doesn't have a velus, just how you got it from these words, he says, Vatanya, Makaran, the katan of Neagam Neshes, had he said, and a katan doesn't have a velus, Ditanya, the katan ain't a velus, you would agree, good support. So this is a good support also, you just have to understand why it's a good support. And the good support is, Mipnei Akmas Nefesh, we tear for him, but not Mipnei Avelis.
But now let's cut the whole thing. The basic idea of Bar Pinchas we don't hold. We don't hold that if you can cut for this or for mourning, we don't hold that Bar Pinchas.
Who said?
No, we do. The writer he's quoting, Kol Elu Sha'amru Mutter Legaleach Mutter B'moe, Legaleach B'moe, Mutter Legaleach B'mei Avlo, we hold like. We might not hold of Rabbi Pinchas' inference from it about those who can't and can't.
No, but we don't hold that you can cut your thing in avelus.
Oh, we do.
We don't hold that, Rabbi Pinchas.
We do. If you indeed came out of a Beit Asurin during your avelus, in fact, we say, that's what he's talking about. All those who can shave a Kol HaMoed, those listed in our Mishnah as permissible, the exceptions, they also can during their avelus. That part we hold like. It's the coming. It's his inference that we might not hold like, as we're going to see in our Gemara right now.
Rabbi?
Yes.
You know,
if you're talking about somebody who's a few days old,
we're talking about somebody who's a few days old.
Yeah.
How does he proper avelus?
Oh, that's a good question. He's not going to mourn. Okay,
right.
Correct.
So one question, what's a katan?
Okay. So, the Gilyon Hashas, which does appear here on the page in tiny letters, I had Rachmanis on you and I typed it up. In source 4. He asks, maybe it's similar to your question, but he says, Kashali, I have a problem with this. Ha'adra, since our whole question is based on a katan not having avelut, ein ze yotzei min haklal. Kol she'aser b'moed, aser b'mei avlo. Indeed, everybody who can't shave on Chol HaMoed can't shave when he has avelus. But the katan doesn't have avelus. Haino nami shehu avel. He has to be an avel. Ma she'ein kein katan, de'eino avel. The katan isn't an avel. So where's the question? The iser is only on the one who shaves him. There would be no problem to shave the katan. You find some barber who's not one of the seven immediate relatives to shave his head. He doesn't even have avelus in the first place. It's not a problem at all. If our whole issue is, you said somebody can't shave, mama can't shave an avelus, and a katan doesn't have avelus, so instead of saying, so you're wrong, say, well, it doesn't apply to a katan because a katan doesn't have avelus. His question is very good. The answers are not as good. Okay?
I don't understand something. We learned in the last year, and in the first year, that if you shave before Yontif, you can shave a chalamoid.
Okay.
Now, that does not mean that if you shave before Yontif and you become an oval, that you can shave a chalamoid.
Okay.
I don't think the inference that they're making is right. We can shave, if you shave before Yontif, you can shave a chalamoid. Now, if you shave before Yontif and you become an oval, you cannot shave.
True, but the halacha that we discussed in the first year, allowing you to shave, if you shave before Yontif, we limited to circumstances that weren't the circumstances of the Gemara. We limited it to a society where everybody shaves every day, and we also said that wasn't really the pshat of the Gemara, because the pshat of the Gemara is talking about a yachid amongst rabbim, who don't shave. And therefore, that person is not allowed to shave, just like an Aveda. That was the whole limud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said, when the Gemara says no, and everybody says no, it's talking about a Yachid doing it amongst Rabbim who don't do it.
Yeah.
So, indeed, we hold that such a person who shaved before Yontif isn't allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. And indeed, when it comes to Avelus, he wouldn't be allowed to. But either way, this statement says everybody who's allowed to is, and his inference is about everybody who's not allowed to.
But according to Rav Soloveitchik, for instance, who says you shave before Yontif, you can shave in Chol HaMoed. But Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't say if you shave before Yontif, you would become Avelus that you can shave.
Correct.
I don't think this conclusion is correct.
Okay. So you have a kasha on the roof.
No, I have a kasha on what you on what this is being said. No.
Okay.
I don't have a kasha on the roof. I like it very much.
Okay. So one of the answers I saw was in a sefer called the Keren Oira, Rav Yitzchok of Yankovsky. He lived in the 18th and 19th century. He was the brother of the Mishkanos Yaakov and later took over for the Mishkanos Yaakov as the Rav of Karlin. So he gives an answer, again, still a little bit lacking. I'm having trouble understanding it. But he says, V'had asunim l'katan lav mishum b'lachahi. We're in source 5. It's not because of the forbidden activity. The issue is, meaning even if the katan doesn't have a velos, we're still not allowed to do it to a katan. Mishum gzera katan atu gadol. Because if you do it to the kids, you'll do it to the adults too. Vin kain bimei evel nami ye asur lekatan kol she'asur legadol. And therefore, during a time when he would have a velos, even if we all agree a katan doesn't have a velos, still, in kein matzino avelu bekatan, v'shaper dayek minei deleka yisur bekatan klav. So now, when the Gemara says, wait, I thought you said there's no avelu, we know there's no avelus of a katan. This would imply avelus of a katan. The question still stands. Because in some way, there still is avelus of a katan, because somehow there's an anhaga, a minhag, not to give him a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Even though the whole reason is, don't give him, because you'll give the adult. Okay, so that is the Keren Ora's answer. Again, it's not as good as the Rabbi Kiva Eger's question was on it.
I mean, the problem with it seems to be, he's saying low plume. It's basically low plume. It's a very big stretch for a low plume.
Correct.
You can't give a haircut to a gadol who's completely within his own control, so you can't give a haircut to a two-day-old baby. The stretch is just very large for a low plume.
Okay.
No one would confuse the two.
Correct.
And say, oh, if I give a haircut to a baby, I can give a haircut to an adult.
Can you only give a haircut to a baby who's got long hair?
You're saying if it's bothering him, even if he has short hair and it's bothering him. Okay, even if it's, let's say it's very hot, and it's making him sweat, and it's a little baby.
Right.
But you can use the same reason the Gemara gives. I can put on the baby all the agbalot that you would do for a gadol because of agbalot nefesh. Just like you tear his clothes, everybody should cry. So I know.
So I make him sit in a chair and not go to work.
All
and I make him not eat his own food. And
all those things is for agbalot nefesh. That's what his answer is. It's really agbalot nefesh for other people. It's not because he. It's true. He doesn't have a veda. Saying tearing clothes is agbalot nefesh, I can say agbalot nefesh on anything you do to the child within the din of the veda.
Okay. So, fair point. That it's a little bit of broadening the
answer.
So, one second. Amar Rav Ashi, he gives the answer. Miktani ha asurin, dilma yesh mehen asurin, yesh mehen asur, yesh mehen mutter. And that was what I explained at the beginning. Instead of saying, if A then B, therefore not A, not B, he says, no, it could be if A then B. And also other things lead to B, meaning it could be that somebody is not allowed to do it in Avelos, somebody who's not allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed, who is allowed to do it during Avelos. Okay, and so he rejected it for that logic. Now let's take a minute to indeed discuss the nature of Kriya for a Katan. Why are we tearing for the Katan his clothing? So let us begin with source 9. We saw Rashi said that the reason to Mipnei Agma Nefesh, what does that mean? Mipnei Agma Nefesh is that everybody else watching will cry, and that will that will be better for the cover of the mate. So the Torah in source 9 says, Katan Shemet lo mate, Mikarin lo Mipnei Agma Nefesh, Perush Kidei laharbot behesped. So it could be a slightly different answer, meaning depending on how you understand what Rashi means by Begir Bechor Amit, but he gives the answer, when they see this Katan having his clothes torn, they're going to all of a sudden to give a great talk about the greatness of the man who had passed away. Then the Torah cites the Ritz Giyat. The Ritz Giyat, Katav HaRitz Giyat, V'im Higia L'chinuch, if he indeed is 12 years old, 11 years old, close enough to understand what's going on, we should be educating him in all of his halachos, so we should also be educating him in tearing kriya. And therefore, he should also tear kriya. What would be the difference between those two? We'll get to in 1 second. But the Beis Yosef in source 10 says, Masha Katav Hashem Ritz Giyad, he cites that view, Lomar, Dafilu Hecha Demet Lo Met, Deleka Lemechash Be La'agma Nefesh, Im Higia Lechinoch Mikarimu. Even if it's a mate where there is no Agmas Nefesh, if he's old enough to be trained in mitzvah, we would tear for him. I'm sorry, what is a mate where there is no Agmas Nefesh? What would that be? And then I looked around, and they all have answers that still puzzle me. Oh, it's talking about where a baby died before he was a year old. So the only, and I came up with this on my own, and you'll tell me if you like it, is if it's based on that explanation that the Torah just gave. In other words, if Mipnei Agmas Nefesh is Kedei Laharbot Behesped, the goal of tearing is to cause you to talk about the wonderful attributes the person had, and now I tell you that the person who died was a 2-month-old baby, so it could be that there is no Laharbot Behesped goal. Because, as sad and terrible as it is, that's not a hesped. We may have to give a drasha and really be menachem the people who suffered this terrible loss, and it's a terrible tragedy, but there's no hesped. Oh, he did so much chesed, he always attended shir. You're not going to talk about that. So if mipnei agmas nefesh is defined as the harbo of the hesped, so indeed, for certain people, that doesn't apply. And now, when we say, katan shemid lo meit mekarin lo mipnei agma nefesh, and if he's old enough, So that indeed applies to an old enough kid. That was how I interpreted it. I can't prove it. Take it or leave it. Fine. But Rabbi Akiva Eger explains the difference in source 11. What is the difference between katan shemet lo mikar lo mipnei agma nefesh? And what's the difference between igia lechinuch karin lo kedera shemechan kin otol deshar mitzvot? So he cites the drisha that says, katan, we're in source 11, debakatan mamash karin lo kesav. You only have to rip a little bit to serve the purpose. Mipnei agma nefesh. Everyone else, we have to turn a certain shear. And there's actually a lot of kriya if you do it in the wrong spot, if you didn't do it standing, if the news wasn't exactly right, all sorts of rules. So there's a certain shear that has to be done. It has to be a tefach, a hand
breadth.
A hand breadth. So that would apply to the one who you are training for chinuch.
But that itself is questionable because we've had other sukkahs in sukkah where we saw that when you're doing something for chinuch, you don't necessarily have to fill all of the parameters of the halacha.
Good.
You have to do something so that the kid sees and he learns. But it's not like, it's not, you can give him an esro, that's not good. Because he learns, you're supposed to take an esro.
Not everybody agrees to that. And right now, right here, also not everybody's going to
agree.
Okay.
But you can't give him a lemon.
Correct.
You can't give him a lemon.
Why not?
Why not?
According to what you said.
Was there at least a machlokas on this point, though, back in the sukkah, whether when you train a child for chinuch, do you have to fulfill all the parameters of the halacha?
Not all the parameters, but it has to be within the halacha. Within the halacha.
If it's clear that you're not, it's different. Like, there's a stuffed doll lulav and etrog that people give their kids. It's clear to the kid and clear to everybody, that's not a problem. But if you give him dal minim and they're puzzle, it would seem to be a problem in your chinuch. That seems to be the conclusion of the sugya, that we don't do that. We don't give him a puzzle, a lemon. Okay, but let us see right here if that's true. So the Shulchan Aruch indeed paskin source 12, katan shemet lo mit mikarlo. We tear for him. And the Taz right there comments, source 13, mikarlo, he cites the Torah, and he cites the Ritzkiyat that we cited, and he cites the Beis Yosef, so that was source 9, source 10. The katan bedrisha, mikan raya ksat. And I love hearing those words, because it's a raya ksav. It's a little proof, small proof. In other words, it leads me to say that. It's not really a proof. It's my inference. It's logical, but I can't prove it. But it's a raya ksav. Shekatan sheigia lechinuch, tzarech linhog, kol dine avelot. A katan who is of age to be learning halachot should be knowing all the rules of avedut. Well, many have trouble with that. Let us start with...
Substantially all.
Okay.
What's the hamamina of the right?
Meaning if the Ritzkiyat... We said a katan you don't really have to tear for him, and the Ritzkiyat says... You do have to tear out of chinuch. So he says, so if out of chinuch we do that, so out of chinuch we're going to do everything. Okay? One of the problems we have with this is the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Sadi Vav. That was in Shin Mem, source 14. Katan shemei aviv imo. Vafilu higdil toch shiva. Batal mimenu kol din avelot ve'enu chayavo. Okay? A katan whose parents died, right, and then he was 12 years and 364 days, we'll use the secular calendar for the minute, okay, and now, in honor of his bar mitzvah, his parents passed away, so now he is 13 in the middle of his shiva, so then, batal mimenu kol din avelus, still, because he was a katan when they died, he still has no avelus, even though he indeed became of age, when indeed he would have been obligated in Avilus to do the rest of Shiva. What can we imply from that? And I think Raya, more than Tzatz, is that a Katan doesn't have Dine Avilus. So,
Taz is problematic, goes against this.
Goes against this, yes. So the Pitei Tshuva in Source 15 says, see what he said about the Taz, see what he said in Rukesef. So said the Dagal Miravava, that's Rabbi Yechezkel Landau, the Note of Yehuda, and he disagrees. And he disagrees for a very good reason, and that is, V'lo shayef kan chinuch. Chinuch doesn't apply here, teaching him about it. One of the rules we have for Shiva is you are not allowed to learn Torah. If you're not allowed to learn Torah, what's better for the growth of this katan? That he should practice sitting Shiva on the laws of Avelos, or he should go to school and learn? He should go to his yeshiva and go to shir. So if you're going to be teaching him, what's better for his teaching him? As opposed to Kriya tearing his shirt, what does it take, 3 seconds? We'll be okay. So therefore, the Gemara says, Mikar in lo mipnei agmas nefesh. Hakatan, that's it. He doesn't have a velus. We do tear Kriya for him, albeit for a different reason. But when it comes to teaching him about a velus, we don't teach him about a velus because that's not part of chinuch. It could be also in Source 14 as a type of possible dachuk explanation for the Taz is that it's katan shemit aviv imo. Who is responsible to educate a katan? Parents. And they die. So it could be that for him it's batel din chinuch. But I'm not convinced of that. So the Betin has to, but okay, so the Betin will send him to school. Meaning.
But a katan can be somebody 1 year old or 11 years old.
True, so then he's not a
Gil Chinuch. You know which one we talk about.
Correct, but if he's 1 year old, he's not Din Chinuch.
Or 2 or 3,
yes.
Most of the sources, not it seems, said katan she Gil Chinuch and a carrying low. Is a Gil Chinuch, he should be able to tear it himself.
So when it comes to a katan, Rav Tukachinsky, source 16, it's the next line of it, because it's a katan, he doesn't do the kriya himself. Somebody does it to him. That's the minog we have with I don't know if it's minog or halacha that we have with the katan. But source 16 is the Gesher Achayim. It's when I was taking Avelos, that was at the end of every sugya, you had to cite the Gesher Achayim. If you didn't know what the Gesher Achayim said, you got the question wrong. Okay? So the Gesher Achayim, Rav Tukachinsky, was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. So, not so long ago. And he said, Katan shemeid lo meid, im lo higya lechinoch, mikarin lo bevigda kriya kol shehi. He paskins what we said, Rabbi Akiva Eger said, the Drisha said, l'habia ha'agmat nefesh, to express it. Aval im ha'katan higya l'shno chinoch, karin lo kedin kriya b'shir hadarish. It once happened, I'm thinking, maybe it was like 1960, 61, the Rav Soloveitchik experts in the room will tell me, but apparently the Rav lost 3 relatives in 1 year.
1967.
67. Okay, thank you. So he lost his mother,
brother, Shmuel, and then his wife, and then his mother.
So his brother, his wife, and his mother, all in a short period of time. So he came back to Shir and asked everybody if they would mind if they learned the third parak of Moed Katan, if they could learn the halachas of Avelus, and that was what the shir switched to for a summer zman, and they all obliged nicely to the Rav's request. So there's a sefer called Shirei HaRav, where those shirim were written up by a Rav Eliakim Kenigsberg. I don't believe he is old enough to have been in the shir. He's not old enough to have attended the shir. I don't believe he's old enough to have been in this year. I think they gave him either the recordings or the notes, and he prepared this sefer. So I found this sefer because the Rav has an interesting insight into Avelus of a Katan. Umash mekarin the Katan, she yigil echinuch, rak mipnei, we're in source 17, rak mipnei agman nefesh. We care for a katan who got to, who was old enough to be trained, only because of agnat nefesh. Belo midin chinuch. Hainu, mishum de la'olam leka din chinuch ba'avelu l'kriya. The Rav says, there is no chinuch for avelu and kriya. When it comes to a din chinuch is what kind of din? It could be that it's a din d'oraita. It could be when we say we're doing something we din chinuch though, it could be that the kiyum isn't even d'oraita, it's a kiyum d'rabbanan. So it also could be that since avelus, though it's a little bit our topic today, a lot of it might be d'rabbanan, it could be that the chinuch doesn't apply to it, or for various other reasons, one the Rav's going to say right now. I know we passed in that way halacha l'maisa. I remember Rav Binyamin Tabori, who was a ram in my yeshiva, who should have a refuah shalema, and he told us, halacha l'maisa, there is no chinuch for avelus for a katan at all, even if he's older katan. He said, now you can come with all sorts of other reasons why you might want him to do some, why you might want him to attend the shiva. But those are psychological, pedagogical, or other reasons, not halachic reasons per se. Meaning parenting reasons, you know, it'd be good for him to hear about his relative, etc. Those are all legitimate. But halachically, there's no chinuch for avelus. So the Rav says, there's no chinuch avelu d'kriya. V'nira da'atam, what's the reason? The lack of chinuch v'vitzar avelu, mishum dikaro hu hakiyum balev. What's the main part of avelus? Is it the fact that I'm not shaving? Is it the fact that I'm not working? That I'm not eating my own food? That my clothes are torn? Or are all those outward actions really reflecting what we're supposed to be feeling? And clearly the Rav is the opinion, the latter, that it's a kiyum balev. And that isn't applicable for a katan, for a minor. The katan, la bar da'atu, he doesn't have this level of knowledge, wherewithal, to handle that. Ve'enu mitzdar al neito, and he's not considered to be somebody who is sad about his loss. Now that doesn't mean the katan doesn't cry, but in terms of this kiyum balev that the Rav is talking about, the katan doesn't have that. V'afa pi sheyesh kiyum balev gam b'mitzvot simcha, even though there's also times we're supposed to be happy. And when that happens, we do train the katan. We're about to get there in the Gemara in a minute. Even though that's true, you're supposed to be happy on the Chag, your son, your daughter. What does that mean? That means you make your kids happy. Nonetheless, there the chiyuv is on the father to make his kid happy, not on the katan to be happy. So the katan isn't mechuyav in to be sad, and he's not mechuyav in to be happy. Okay?
According to this, the Rav would say that this business of not shaving the katan,
wouldn't apply. Correct.
So it goes back to what I said earlier.
Okay. One last point before we continue in the Gemara is source 18. Yes.
Sorry, the Rav said here, Mash makarim katan shegiya lechinuch rak mipnei akmas nefesh v'lo midin chinuch. I thought that we had made the division. The child before chinuch, that is akmas nefesh. The child after chinuch, that is mipnei chinuch.
Okay, so I had to cut out the piece. The Rav has a whole explanation where he takes issue with that.
So the Rav would say that you could always shave the chalavoy if you don't have a katan. You could always shave the katan.
Perfect.
Because that's obvious.
Perfect. Right. That the way he phrases it, he's to kind of say it. Is that even he yelled at him also because of Agnus Nefesh.
Right.
There's a whole paragraph there. Fine. But one last point about Kriya, and I bring it up because it's raya, its proof comes from our sugya. But that's related to the kriya that people do when they see Har HaBayit. When you see the Temple Mount in its destruction. And I think much of those halachos are also in Bavli Katan. I don't know if you got there or not yet. No, so it's coming up a little bit later. But many, most, tear kriya when they see Har HaBayit. There might be a minhag Yerushalayim if you live in Yerushalayim, if you don't. And there's all sorts of rules, every 30 days or not. Okay. There are a lot of minhagim on this. One of the commonly repeated minhagim on this topic is that if you go Erev Shabbos after Chatzot, you don't have to tear kriya. The Chazon Ish and many others say there is no makor for that minhag. As in, if you have to tear kriya, you would even have to tear kriya then. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. He was asked a whole bunch of questions about kriya. The second question he was asked, source 18, Ra'av makom ha-mikdash ve'erev shabbat kodesh achar chatzot im chayav lekroa. Must he tear? Well, the inyan im raka makom ha-mikdash ve'erev shabbat achar chatzot. You see Har HaBayit Friday afternoon. Any roe tam shelo yikra. I see no reason why you shouldn't be tearing even then. Imlo shenema shakriya yaseh alav yoter tzar shetimshoch b'shvil zeh gam achar knisa shabbat. If you are so emotional that by tearing your clothing at 1 p.m. on Friday, you're still going to be sad and thinking about it at 10 p.m., that means that your avilus is going to continue into Shabbos. And since we don't like people being sad on Shabbos, certainly not that kind of sadness, but probably even any sadness, so then, maybe you shouldn't be tearing your beged even on Friday afternoon. V'ra'iti b'sefer, ir ha-kodesh va-mikdash, la-gon Rav Tkachinsky. Again, the Gesher HaChaim, he also had other svarim. D'mistabek im ha-kriya hi la-fil alav tzar. He says, maybe that's the goal of kriya. Why do we tear in general, or at least why do we tear for seeing makom ha-mikdash, would be in order to cause us a little pain. As in, we go about our day happy and jolly, and when we see a Har HaBayit, we're supposed to be like, oh.
Do you have any concept that Avelus is a form of Kavod HaMeis? Is that, wouldn't that...
Avelus, what about a Kriya? Terror, you're separate.
The whole idea of both Avelus and Kriya.
Okay, so what's so here is about Kavod HaMeis, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Umevi ke'ein raya. Again, ke'ein raya. A proof of sorts. Meha d'nekarin l'katan mipnei akban nefesh. Since we tear for the katan, so that everybody else watching experiences some akban nefesh. And he's explaining that as tzar. We all should feel a little pain at his loss. Shelebizehu tam galol esor l'kro v'erev shabar achar chatzot. Then we shouldn't do this Friday afternoon. Shalachin af shalo bus karzeb sifro mashmashayu korin gamer shabbat kodesh achar chatzot. Now in his sefer, he's not citing Rav Tkachinsky as giving this heter. He's citing Rav Tkachinsky's reason for kriya and saying, applying that here, we can be lenient. He doesn't say Rav Tkachinsky said don't tear erev Shabbos. Ava mikomako. For tens of years, people have not been tearing their baguette Friday afternoon when they go to the kotel. Even though, how did this become a minhag? From the masses, not because of a psak of some gadol. It is indeed a minhag. Vasur l'shanot me'achar dikatam. And since it's a minhag, and I found a plausible reason for it, so I can't tell you to uproot this minhag, it's a valid minhag that one can indeed rely on. So I brought that here because his proof, Rav Tkachinsky's proof, was from our Gemara. Okay. Let us continue in our Gemara. Amemar v'itema Rav Sheshet Parei D'Ravidi. They have this conversation happening in a different way, with a detail or two changed. Amar Shmuel, katan mutar legalcho b'moed, Loshna b'moed v'loshna nola loshna nola b'moed v'loshna nola meikara. As opposed to the first time where he said b'moed, and the Gemara inferred only b'moed. But if he was born before the moed, he is not required to, he's not able to. So now it's, no, b'moed or even lifnei ha-moed. They are both allowed. So now, what could Rabbi Pinchas possibly be doing? He is not coming to refute the inference. He's going to be coming to support the inference. Amar of Pinchas, af ananami tanina. I teach the same thing based on another tosefta. Kol elu she'amru mutar legalech b'moed, mutar legalech b'mei avolo. Everyone who he said is allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, all those exceptions we have, they are also allowed to shave. Those exceptions apply even during Avelus. Ha asurin legalech b'moed, asurin legalech b'mei avolo. So too, if they are not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, they are not allowed to shave in Avelus. V'i amart, katan aser, and here we said, regardless of when the katan was born, he is allowed to shave. That's, I'm supporting you. Because had you said he wouldn't be allowed, nimtzeid avelu noheged b'katan, and we know, tanya mekarin the katan mipnei agma nefesh. So he says, I taught the same thing, I can support your rule, Shmuel. Amar Ravashi, no you can't. Still, nonetheless, mi kitani ha asurin, dilma yesh mehen asur, vi yesh mehen mutter. Now, two possibilities. What did Ravashi refute? Did he refute the rule, or did he refute the proof for the rule? The proof. Correct? He is leaving the rule as standing. In other words, the second version of Shmuel is there's no difference between when the katan was born. And Ravashi says, I'm fine with that, just your raya is wrong. So the conclusion of the Gemara would then be the second lashon of Shmuel. Is that so? Let us go back to our source sheet. We're at source 6. The Rambam says, V'kulan shayal lahen p'nai legaleach kodem haregel v'lo gelchu asurin. They had a chance to get their hair cut before the regal. They didn't. They're not allowed. And again, it's a long... He has all the terum of our Mishnah. And one of them, and some of our Gemara. The katan shenolad, bein b'moed, bein lifnei ha-moed, mutar legalcho b'moed. So how is he paskening? He's paskening like our second lashon. Who told me this? Source 7, the Magid Mishnah. Pasuk Rabbeinu Kilishna Batra, the second lashon of Shmuel. The Hakel B'Shel Devreiv, since we are talking about Midrabanan. But oh, the Mashma Hatam Devreiv, right? Because we said it's only Midrabanan that you can't shave on Chol HaMoed, because we wanted you to shave before Yom Tov began. But oh, the Mashma Hatam Devreiv, Kipshata Messiah Lahai Lishna. But Af Agav Dedachul Hai Siyata, Mikomakom Ner Lahakel. Listen to what the Magid Mishnah says. Rabbi Pinchas's inference does make us inclined to support what Shmuel said. Rav Ashi says, it's possible it doesn't. Maybe this is, you know, like a Raya Ksat again. Okay? But Magid Mishnah is saying, Rav Pinchas does sound like he has a pretty good proof. Rav Ashi rejects it, and the Gemara rejects it. But it's the Lishna Batra, and we tend to paskin like Lishna Batras as a general rule. I'm not going to tell you 100%, but... I don't know, 80, 90% as a rov, and we have two lishonot, we follow the second one. In addition, he says, it sounds like he's right, even though Rav Ashi ends up rejecting it. That's the Magid Mishnah. And I will tell you that the majority do paskin this way, the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, they all paskin like this. Rambam, I did see that the Rokeach, who is the Rokeach? Rabbeinu Elazar of Worms, 12th century. He was a Talmud of the Uraim, Rabbi Elazar Mitz. He was the Rebbe of the Or Zeruah, Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. And he unfortunately lost a lot of family members in the Crusades. He may have been injured in the Crusades. So the Rokeach says, Katan shenolad b'moed, mutar legalcho b'moed. And the inference is, because he didn't say, ben lefnei ha-moed, ben shelo lefnei ha-moed, that he is paskening like the Lishna Kama. Okay? I think we pass in like the Lishna Patra, we allow it, but just so you know, there are those who, because the Gemara rejects the proof and the Lashon Rav Ashi, that there is some, the Gemara doesn't include the Hilchata, you know, one way, so it did leave a little ambiguity here to allow that possibility.
It would have seemed, since the main point of both versions is, there is no proof. The proof that you brought, the inference that you made, is just not valid. We simply are left not knowing. What does it mean that we're posing like this question? Like this question, both the Shonas agree, we don't know.
You know what Shmuel said. He said something very definite. The second Lashon said, you can check it before or during. That's Shmuel. The question is, you have a raya for Shmuel, not a raya. It doesn't change what Shmuel said. I think you're masculine most people that Shmuel would go according to Shmuel's second Lashon.
And the only question is, which one Shmuel really said, and we tend to consider the second one as more authoritative. Okay, let us try to do a little further in the Gemara. Avel eino noheg aveluto beregel. If you're in avelus and yantif comes, you don't act like an avel during the yantif. Shneamar v'samachta b'chagecha. There is a mitzvah, you must be happy on yantif. I aveluto mei karehu ati ase derabim v'dachi ase deyachid. If you were an avel before yantif, so then, the asay of everybody has his mechuyav to be happy on Yantif comes and is doche, your asay of being sad because you're an avel. V'i avelu tahashtahu, lo ati asay diyachid v'dachi asay derabim. And if the person passed away during Chol HaMoed, so you're already part of the tzibor being happy, so because you individually have a reason to be sad, you can't uproot your obligation to be happy. And the Gemara, for the rest of the way, for a few pages now, is going to go through every din that we have of Avelus, ask whether that applies to him on Chol HaMoed during Avelus, whether that applies to a Metzora and a Menuda. It's going to do that for each one. We're not going to do that now, because I want to focus on the Tosfot in the corner.
But if you had Avelus before Yantus and had a Levaya, then Yantus.
That's how we pass it. That's how we pass it. Yes.
That's how we pass it.
Yes.
And then it's like a regular after.
Well, it's like after Shiva.
After Shiva.
Yes. Okay.
What's the assay of availability?
Good. Tosfot's question. Tosfot says, assay the yachid. Mashma da velut ika assay doreita. Right? It says, your assay of availus is nincha because of the assay of the rabbin. Is that true? Meaning, Tosfot says, who says avelus is an assay? Is it doraita? Midelo kamar v'dachi assay derabanan. It doesn't say, here comes a mitzvah doraita, and it's docha your mitzvah derabanan. What it does say is, here comes the mitzvah derabim, docha your mitzvah deyachin. V'hai dekamar liel. Lo mi bayi yemei avlo derabanan haynu asiyat malacha de nafkalan basmachta mi vafachti chagecham leavel aval guf avelo doraita. So even though elsewhere we can imply that maybe it's derabanan, but it seems that avelos is doraita. That's what he says, and then Tosfot rejects that. Miu nira li de simchat haregel nami derabanan. It's not both avelus is doraita and your avelus is derabanan, because it doesn't say the doraita is docha your derabanan, but rather both are derabanan. The rabim derabanan is docha your yachid derabanan. V'samachta haynu b'shalmei simcha k'deita b'chagiga. When the pasuk says you must be happy on yantif, What does it mean? It means be happy by eating the basar kachin. We don't have that. So therefore, it can only be midrabbanan. So now I'm going to ask you, and because of a limit on time, we'll do it quickly, as two questions. One, is v'samachta d'oraita or d'rabbanan? Is being happy on yantif a d'oraita or d'rabbanan? Two, is avelus a d'oraita or d'rabbanan? So, let us go to the last source on the page. Source 19. The Rambam says, V'chayav adam liyot bahen sameach v'tov lev, hu uvanav ishto v'nei meto. Shnemar v'samachta b'chagecha. You must be happy on yantif. You and your children and your wife and everybody in your household. As the pasuk says, Shnemar v'samachta b'chagecha. Af al pi shasimcha amura hi korban shlamim. Even though the simcha, the pasuk is referring to, conceding the point, even though the pasuk is referring to the happiness you would have from eating those korbanot, kemo she'anu mevarin behilchot chagiga, as we explained there, yesh bechlal ota simcha lismoach hu uvanav uvnei beito kol echad ve'echad karoy lo. Still, you have to make everyone in your family bechlal ota simcha. It's included in that. How is that so? Ketzad ektanim, you give them nuts and treats. Women, you buy them clothes and jewelry. The men, ochlin basar, b'shot in yayin, she'ein simcha el v'basar, be'ein simcha el v'yayin. The men, how do we have simcha yantif? We meat, we drink wine.
Women don't eat. That's the kiyum.
That's the kiyum. So, when it comes to this topic, there's actually an interesting nafgamina that some people don't realize. And I'll tell you why I realize. Because I constantly get people discussing, because I work and learn in the yeshiva, and 18-year-olds trying to decide their life's path, some of them consider vegetarianism lowly. And the discussion is, are we supposed to be a vegetarian? Should we be a vegetarian? How about, can we be a vegetarian? Is it even allowed halachically? We discussed in our first year on Sunday about a petach of a neder, helping a person out of a neder. So Mishnah Nedarim says, potchin b'yamim tovim u'b'shabbatot. We can allow a person out of the neder. Had you known it was going to be yomtiv or Shabbos, you know, you said you're not going to do something for 30 days. Had you known it was going to be yomtiv or Shabbos, would you have taken the neder? And the person says, no. We can let him out. So the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnayot says, "Kigon shenadar shelo yishte yayin alo yochol basar kach v'kach yamim." If he says, "I won't eat meat or drink wine a certain number of days," only lo ilu yadata b'shata neder ki hashavat ol yontov shebechal yamim elu. Had you known yontov was coming up, would you have made those that neder? Chayav atal lachol b'hem basar. You are required to eat meat. Had he said no, we let him out of the nether. It seems from this Rambam that you would be required to eat meat. So a person wouldn't be allowed to be a vegetarian. Okay, there's other Rambams that imply otherwise. So not halakha l'maisa, because the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed says, if you can afford it. If you can't afford it, you don't have to eat it. If you don't like it, you don't have to eat it. And there's many Gemaras that talk about the various different foods they ate for Onik Shabbos, you know, Kamein, Pitriot, all these lovely things. They weren't all necessarily meat. But it would be an interesting nafkamina for a vegetarian ger. If the ger has to accept upon himself all the mitzvot, and we were to paskin like that Rambam Perush HaMishnayot that says that you must eat meat on Yom Tov or Shabbos, we weren't allowed to accept such a get. Okay, we don't, we could, but just understand the ramifications of that. So that was regarding the first question of whether Simcha is now midrabbanan or the right or not. What about the other one, Avelus? Whether a velus is directed to Rabbanan could be another hour share. So let's make it a 1 minute share. So the conclusion is either we say it's the Rabbanan, or we say if the death and the kvura happened in the same day, the first day is the oraita. The rest of it, the Gemara tells us Moshe was mitaking Shiva. Okay, and even if we don't know that, the rest of it is Dirabana. Okay? So it's possible that the first day can be Doraita. Also possible, Kriya can be Doraita. The tearing can be Doraita, even if the rest of Avelu is Dirabana. But it being Dirabana is a factor, I said, for Halacha Kedivrei Amegel Avelu. Even though we generally try to paskin like a Rabin or a Rove, or when it comes to Avelut, we might be a little more lenient. It also is a factor in what about Yom Tov Sheni. Let's say the person passed away in Chol HaMoed, and then you have 7th day Yom Tov, and you have 8th day Yom Tov. Yom Tov Sheni, 8th day Yom Tov, is definitely a Derabanan. Why wouldn't you, if Avelut weren't Doraita, you should say, well, who cares that it's Yom Tov Sheni Shogaliot? I should have to do Avelis. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins know, even those in keeping Yom Tov Sheni don't keep Avelis on Yom Tov Sheni, so that would be a factor there. So, okay, that was our topic.
Doesn't it count as the first day of Shiva? Let's see if somebody dies.
And they got buried on
Chol HaMoed. Where does Shiva begin?
I always thought afterwards. The 9th day, but
yeah.
Afterwards? That's what I think. Thank you for your time.